Greetings, EdReach listeners. One thing we know about our EdReach listeners is that they're a loyal and engaged group. As EdReach grows, we're giving our fans a chance to help build a fresh and new EdReach. We want to continue to offer education media that's unprecedented and cutting edge. You can support us by going to www.patreon.com/EdReach and subscribing for as little as $1 a month. Just $1 per month. We at EdReach have always believed that education needs its own media space. Help us take education forward and become part of the EdReach family. Together, we can continue to do the work that makes education synonymous with innovation. Go to www.patreon.com/EdReach or go to the EdReach website at edreach.us and click on the Become a Patron link. Give a little so that you can continue to get a lot. Now, enjoy your show.
I'm a skywalker walking on the air tonight.
Welcome to the Two Guys Show on the EdReach Network, giving educators a big voice. This is a Two Guys special event where we are live here in Lafayette, Indiana. So we are here at the Lafayette Regional LSC e-learning conference.
Absolutely. So we want to thank you all for joining us on this special broadcast, a special time. We want to thank the EdReach Network for having us. We want to thank everybody in Lafayette for being with us tonight and having us and hosting us tonight, so we appreciate that. We're with the incomparable Nick
Provenzano,
the nerdy teacher.
I said it right.
So Nick, all of us are invited here. We're from Michigan, but we're visiting in Indiana. Mm-hmm. We're here at the conference. So Nick, for those people who may not know you, can you give us like a little 2-minute overview of who you are, what you're all about, and why people like to hear you talk?
If I knew that one. My wife wants to know why people want to hear me talk as well, because she stopped quite some time ago.
Listening, yes.
That happens.
Right? About me. So my name is Nicholas Provenzano. I'm a high school English teacher. I've been teaching for 12 years now, just finished my 12th year. And I stumbled into ed tech about 4 years ago. I wanted to start a master's program. I've always dabbled in technology. My dad, one of my earliest memories growing up, my dad brought home a Macintosh desktop computer, the first Macintosh there, and he said, "This is going to be the most important tool for the rest of your life." And we all said,
Right.
"Does it play games?" was actually our first question.
Right.
He showed us everything else. I'm like, "Where are the games?" And one, it turned me into a Mac person. Ever since, that's all we ever had. So,
I'm Apple fanboy.
Yeah,
Apple
same thing.
But
I shouldn't admit that.
I don't mind.
Sorry. You're going to Google.
I am going to Google. Hey, they told me to bring my MacBook.
There you go. Of course.
Ever since then, I've always kind of dabbled in it, and I was the first person to request like a LCD projector in my building. So that the TV isn't cutting it for my PowerPoints. And then
it's a little too small.
It is a little too small, and so I've always been the one that's been pushing to do things a little bit differently. And so when I figured out I wanted to do my master's, ed tech made sense to me. And so from there, I joined Twitter, and all of that craziness happened. I don't know why people follow me on Twitter, and I don't know why people read my blog. I'm just me. I write what I want, and I tweet what I want, and if people find it funny, that's awesome. I can tell whatever I want to say because it's my personal space. And I think that's what's cool and powerful about ed tech technology in general, is that it's giving people a voice who might not have a voice. And I think for education, it's so valuable for us as teachers to take advantage of those opportunities, because now more than ever, we need a voice. And this podcast is a perfect example of that, and all the other podcasts that are out there. So with my blog, thenerdyteacher.com, my Twitter account, my podcast, The Nerdycast, all of those things are just an opportunity to give either myself or the people that I bring on board an opportunity to talk and to chat, and people will listen, I guess, as long as I'm interesting, and we'll stop, and the next person will come along, and I'm just enjoying the ride as it goes, and I'm excited to be back in Indiana. I was here last year. Lafayette is an amazing town. I couldn't be happier to be here. It's a great group of people and passionate educators that have come to all these sessions that are here in the audience right now after a long day, so kudos to all of you guys out there that have been following along on Twitter and have been in the building. So for that, thank you, and I hope that you bring back again next year, because it's such a great place to visit and to speak to.
Absolutely. So Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about something that's happened in your classroom or your school that, you know, really, you know, can kind of talk about the power of, you know, having a voice and getting kids involved and sharing information, getting ideas from other teachers. What are some of the things, because you're a connected educator, what's a story or two that you could share from your classroom or your experience in your school that people may not have heard?
May not have heard. Oh, I talk all the time.
Okay, so maybe this group hasn't heard yet, but it's something. Can be something on your blog. But
yeah, no. I think this year my life was 20 time genius hour.
Yep.
Where I gave my kids one day a week to work on a project that they were passionate about. So that was my life every Friday from September until June, and it ended with my students hosting their own TEDx event. TEDx Gross Point South HS.
Just last week, a couple weeks ago, right?
2 weekends
ago. Yeah, 2 weekends ago, right.
So this just ended, and one, I couldn't be more proud of my students and the students that spoke at this event. It's going to be a memory that they will have forever, and actually, whether they forget it or not, it's forever on YouTube. So
it'll
be there forever, and it was surreal. The kids all worked on their projects all year, and so my 20-time project was to see if I could start a TEDx event. And it got accepted, and it blew my mind. I was not really expecting that. And the kids rallied, and a group of 90 kids put together an event for 100 people, and over 1,000 people online tuned in to watch 15-year-old students talk about life and the world and what it means. And it was so empowering for them because they, like many students, live in an environment where traditionally they are not listened to. They are told that their opinions are not important, or you're just 15, or you're just a kid. And so over the course of the year, they all wrote on blogs every week, every other week, and I tweeted that out, that link in Evernote, and what it did is give them a huge audience.
Right.
And so what they got to see is that power, one, of Twitter, that it's more than just celebrities and jokes and things like that, but it can connect you to people from all over the world. And so when other students and other teachers and just other random people from around the world were reading their blogs and leaving comments, it changed their perspective on what their project was because they were getting praise and support from people they just didn't know. And for them, it was really empowering and inspiring. And one story of that is I had a student whose goal was to run a marathon. She's not a runner, so I'm not a runner. I've never run. And she said, I want to run a marathon. I looked at her and said, okay, that if you want to do that, knock yourself out. Now, she couldn't train in class on Fridays,
right?
So she did a lot of research and reading and read books about people that ran marathons and learned. Like, it was pretty intense, and she admittedly wasn't as diligent in her training as she should have been,
right.
But there were some mornings where she said, hey, I just ran 20 this morning. Jeez. 20 minutes? No, 20 miles, or I'm just looking at her going,
that's
what?
Insane. Right.
And then other days that she'd say, yeah, I was really cramping up in class the other day. I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, I would have let you walk around.
Right.
Get up, stretch. I'm like, don't be, you know, upset. And she said, she's like, oh, that was fine. And we ran the relay portion of the marathon with her. Two teachers, myself, another teacher, and four of her friends ran individual legs of the marathon with her. So I ran a 5K, another teacher ran a 5K. These other kids were all cross-country runners and ran along with her.
Right.
And she hit the wall at the 20-mile mark. And so she still had, what, 6.2 miles left. And so I had been tweeting out her story. I created the hashtag Run with Riley. Mm-hmm. And so at the start of the event, I tweeted, I was like, hey, cheer her on. Well, her friend that was running the leg with her, and she hit 20 and she was ready to quit. And she was ready, like, I'm just done. Her friend took out her phone and started reading the tweets, encouraging her. And she said, that's what gave me the motivation to finish. Mm-hmm. All of these people that I did not know cheering me on, and it was people literally from all over the world saying, "You've got this. You can do it. We're so proud of you." It's cool. Like I didn't expect that to happen, and you know, for her to say after the fact, like that was the reason that got me through the rest of this, was so powerful. And all it was me sending out a tweet saying, "Hey, give some support for her." And I thought, "Oh, that'd be nice when she's done to read it." No, like she said, that was the motivation to finish it, and so. Riley's one example. Had a girl that did something, Miranda, that she did something every day that scared her. And at the end of the year, I didn't know this, she talked about how she started last year at one high school, ended up going homeschooling because of some issues, and then came here, and this project was her opportunity to face those fears. And she is now ready to conquer anything and be fearless because of this project. Like, she didn't know whether or not she'd be able to keep going if it wasn't for this. So when I look at that, you know, it's hard for me not to get choked up and go, this was a huge win for me this year. But having said that, there were kids that didn't make the most of it. There were kids that maybe could have been more invested in their time. But I think that's true with any lesson, and it's for me to tweak and keep growing and changing. And but those kids that had so many great experiences really made the whole project worth it. And I was physically and emotionally drained by the end of the school year.
I bet.
Trying to wrangle 90 kids, 90 projects, on top of teaching them the American Literature curriculum, on top of my two sections of freshman English,
right.
As well as keeping that right. all juggled right. and balanced. You know, I did a reflective post that went up last week entitled, Am I a Failure? Where I really reflected on myself and, like, did I fail? Like, I had 10 kids or 20 kids that didn't like this, didn't do well. Does that make me a failure? Just because five were successful, is it worth it? You know, so I wrote about that because I think reflection is such an important part of what we do as teachers and educators in general. You need to take a step back. And so I wrote a quick piece, and I said, okay, I need to get away from this, come back to it in August and say, okay, where am I now emotionally and mentally, hopefully stable at this point, and think about what changes I need to make. So that's been my life. And like I said, the TEDx events, the videos just went live today, the rest of the videos. So they're on YouTube, TEDx Gross Point South HS. That's Gross with an E and Point with an E because we're all French and stuff.
right.
So yeah. We're proud of the French. So you can find them there in their, 19 videos. From our students talking about what they learned and what they wanted to share with everyone. So for me, it's something that I'll be able to use year after year after year and show their classes
Amazing.
What these kids did. And for them, they'll have to show like their kids and
Absolutely.
To show friends and family. Like that's so cool to think that I was a part of something that will be a memory for them year after year after year. So
Absolutely.
That's what I've been doing. How about you guys? What have you been up to?
Honestly. Well, so a question I have is just – getting the whole TEDx event actually, you know, happening, and what was that process like?
I was lucky enough to be at YouTube's offices in October, and I met TED people.
Is that on your tour?
No, this was just, I know some people at YouTube, and they wanted teachers to come out, and so I was there, and they happened to have TED people there, and I was like, I love what you guys do, I do your videos, you know, it was a chance for me to fanboy out a little bit.
Yep.
Some of the people were there.
Sure.
And they said, hey, you know, you should think about doing a TED Ed Club, which is a club that focuses around TED
yep.
videos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, it'd be neat. You know, I told them what I was doing. They said, wow, it really sounds like a TED event. It's like what you want to do. Like,
right.
You should consider signing up for one. I go, oh, ha, 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 no way. Like, you know, I
right.
can't organize. And so once the seed gets planted in my head, though, my wife knows this, unfortunately, that I have to carry it out.
Sorry.
Even, like, all the way through. Well, it's true. Like, it's
no,
like,
that's good.
Even if I get to the end of it, I go, okay, I can't do it. I plan it all out just so I can say to myself, I can't, or that there's no
right.
reason for me not
right, right.
to.
Sure.
So I went online and filled out the paperwork, and I thought, okay, I won't get it. I will get it. You know, whatever.
Yeah, who knows? Right. I did it. I'm starting the process. Right.
Exactly. Then January, I get the thumbs up from them. They call and we have to chat and they say, okay, this is what we're doing. And there's a whole host of rules and regulations that go with holding a TEDx event.
I
it's,
bet.
It's very, very specific because of their brand and their name is so important. They don't
absolutely.
Want anyone just to go ahead and do it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of a sudden it was like, boom. Oh, wow, that's a
this
lot of
this is real, I'll say.
Yeah. Very,
sure.
very real. But luckily I was with a great group of students. And
yeah.
I said, okay, this is your event.
Right.
This has been your project.
Great.
This
Great.
Is your event. So who wants to be lead organizers? And so we had a meeting in the morning, these really passionate kids that showed up, and they all took leadership roles, and they kept asking me, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? I go, I have no opinion. This is your event. Like, make
awesome.
The decision. And, you know, you can see some were like, but I just wanted, I'm like,
I just want to be a small part. And you're like,
and no, this is
help them take ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I did not have the time to plan an event. I mean,
right.
like,
you're already doing your 20 time, Genius
yeah.
Hour, your other classes, everything
yeah.
else. Yeah.
And so, but it was good for them because they really embraced it, and that was really nice. Again, like 20 time, I was a guide to help them make some of those decisions. I helped. Designed the logo, they designed the shirt, they designed the posters, like all of those things. I let them do it. Like, we had a stage director. She's a show choir kid and drama kid, and that's what she knows. And so I told everyone, I'm like, listen, she's in charge. I'm the MC. I have to listen to her. Like, I don't know where to stand. I don't know where I'm going to exit in front.
Right.
So it was really cool that these kids took those leadership positions to make this event happen. And so they changed the slides over. They ushered in the people who's coming next. They gave the order. Like, it was cool to watch them in their element kind of take charge, and it was cool for the kids to see me take orders from these kids and say, take direction and go, I'm equal to you in this environment. Right. That was kind of neat, right. Is that it was an equal type of relationship in regards to making this event happen. So once you got the green light, they send you the packet, you know, digitally, and it's like, okay, there you go. Here are the rules. Don't break them. And that's it. And, you know, we did it. And I'm very lucky to have a great TV production staff, Steve Garrison and everyone over at South, filmed it, edited it, put those videos together on a Saturday right before finals and final
exams.
That's
exactly.
And he did all of that. And Carrie Halliburton, who another teacher, a special teacher, she came out and took all the photographs that she'll be uploading. She took tons of photographs. And she's like a professional photographer. Normally those Saturdays in June are for weddings and for money.
Right.
She donated that day to take photos of all of these kids. And they're beautiful. And it was great because it was an opportunity for our community to come together. Parents got to come and see their kids, like, give this talk that they've been working on almost, you know, all year, and to see them on a literally on a stage and have a captive audience. And then when I told them the next day on that Monday, I was like, over 1,000 people from all over the world were watching you give your talk. It blew their minds.
And that's just live. Not to mention the people that are going to go back and watch
it. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And it didn't really hit them when I said, no, you understand, this isn't going to be Mr. P's YouTube channel that you give a TED talk to. They're on officially TEDx's YouTube channel. Like, it is awesome. An official video. So these will be things that teachers, like, you know, you guys sitting here, you guys at home, will be able to pull up and say, hey, here's an example of a speech talking about X.
Right.
And any one of my kids, you know, can be
that voice,
expert that you use in a lesson, that you use as an example. So I don't think it'll quite get home to them until a little bit later when they start to see those numbers roll up.
Right, for sure. And think they were a part of that.
Yeah. Or if someone reaches out to them and say, hey, I showed your TED Talk in my class or whatever, and it had an impact on this person. You know, you never know, but it could be very
good. Well, and that's the power of social media. You know, we love to, in the media, talk about all the bad, negative, and all that. This is the power of the awesomeness that can take place when you open up doors, you knock down walls, whatever, you know, phrasing you want to use, and you allow kids to experience the world around them. And you sometimes are just quiet for a second and ask them, what do you think? You know, they always impress me. And I should really stop being impressed because the expectation should be there, really.
But it's,
I don't know why I'm so surprised every time.
I think I'm surprised because the kids are so surprised. Like, what do you mean I have a voice? I get to have a choice that I want to do this or this or this. They're so caught off guard because in so many classes, they don't have that choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
For those of you joining us just now, we're with Nick Provenzano, the Nerdy Teacher, on the EdReach Network with the Two Guys Show, broadcasting live from Lafayette, Indiana. So that's some amazing stuff. We've been talking about TEDx. If you have some questions for Drew and I or for Nick, please use hashtag #TwoGuysShow. Also throw in hashtag LWAVE, ELWAVE, which is the hashtag for the official conference, which will continue tomorrow. This is the last piece of the conference today, but we'll start it back again tomorrow. And we both have things going on tomorrow. What are you presenting on tomorrow? What's your session?
I am presenting on blogging. I am presenting on... He's got his cheat sheets coming out. I am 20-time digital tools for reading and writing and blogging. So those are my three. Noon tomorrow, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. So.
Noon, 2, and 3.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss it.
And we'll be before Nick. We go on at 10 o'clock to 11:30, augmented reality. But, okay, so Nick, I want to share something with you about 20 time. This is really cool. It's a great story, and Drew's heard me share this a few times. For those of you who don't know, Drew and I work in the same building. He's just down the hallway from me. And obviously we go in and out of each other's rooms often. He calls me Kramer when I go through the door.
Honestly, still
don't know why. Okay, all right, this guy is like 75 pounds wet, okay? I mean, he's sitting in a chair in the classroom. I open the door like any normal person. He's like a cat. He jumps on this thing. Wah! I'm like, what? I just opened the door. He literally
breaks in the door like Kramer. And like,
I'm here, Jerry!
It's pretty similar like that, and I swear he does it on purpose to try and scare me.
I try to go in quiet sometimes.
90% of the time, I jump.
So that's usually in the morning. That's usually in the morning when I go check in and say hi. So I went down there one day during the day, not long ago actually, and I could tell there was something really cool going on in the room because there was a lot of group projects going on. And this was one of the coolest things. There was a... Drew has a high top table in his class. He has a couple bar stools. Well, there's about four girls had one of these bar stools upside down. And I'll tell you, it was one of the coolest things, because I just sat and I figured it out. Drew was busy with other kids. And I sat there and I was watching. And there was like four girls working around this bar stool. Well, they had this crinoline, you know, for a dress. I'm like, but they all were working so well together, and they were creating something. And you could tell one girl was kind of in the lead. There were like three other girls helping with this project. And they're like, okay, and they're cutting pieces and sewing. And I said, what is it? He goes, yeah, it's a 20-time project. I'm like, girls, so what are you doing? This girl wanted to make a tutu. Was that right?
Yeah.
A tutu. That was her project. She'd never made a tutu. Went online, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Found
out. Researched a couple different ways.
Yeah, so talk about that project. Because it was, you know, I came in as an observer. I came in actually to bother Drew.
Which happens quite often.
He lost an iPad or something, or broke another one of my iPads or something.
Yeah,
only two in the building have been broken.
Both in my room.
Both in his room. So anyways, so I go in there just to check on things, and this project was going on. So why don't you just give a 60 seconds about that project.
You know, I just started it kind of as like a spring project, something to do towards the end of the year, because I had read what you were doing, and I, you know, heard a lot of other people that are using 20-time projects, like Terry Eicholtz out there, who did some sort of 20-time Genius Hour project. And with Angela Myers, she talks about Genius Hour a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, every Friday afternoon we have like an hour we call like tech time, right? It's an hour where we get the iPads, we get laptops, whatever, and it's our tech time, depending on, you know, whatever we're working in. So I said, you know, I gave them the option is that, you know, they have a passion project and they get to create or learn about something that they want to learn about. Not, hey, we have to do this in technology, we need to do this, but whatever you want, you know, and some people decide to do that. Some researched at, they want to create websites, so some of them started creating websites and things like that. And like you, I had some kids that kind of wasted the time and, you know, didn't really get much accomplished. But then I had
mm-hmm.
people like those girls who worked together pretty good to make the tutu, and it came out really cool. It was good to see the kids collaborate, just kind of hear what their passions were about and what they wanted to create or learn about, and it was interesting. It was fun.
Well, you know, so Drew and Nick, I'd like to kind of get your take on this a little bit. You know, listen to what George said this morning and talking about 20 time and even going back to, like, the Angela Myers, the You Matter thing. The reason why I bring this up is, you know what, there's two, like, movements, you know, that are really organic. They're not ed tech involved, you know, because there's a lot of educational technology that we're using that we see we're implementing and making a true difference in education. Some things are truly transforming the classroom, transforming the buildings, districts on a whole. We're getting to expose our voice and share things. But there's two kind of these movements that, you know, we've been talking and listening. You know, we see each other at a lot of conferences all over the country. You know, we've been a lot of places, and there's a lot of us, we meet up and we exchange these ideas, information, share stories. So two things that I see that are making a very big impact are really just kind of like committed ideas. One is the 20-timer Genius Hour. You know, just put that together. And the other one would be like the You Matter idea. The whole idea that, you know what, so we talked about 20-time, you know, giving these kids a chance to really put their stamp on something that they want to learn about, that they're passionate. Because we all know when we're passionate, we're invested, and something's going to be meaningful. And then about the You Matter, this whole idea, for those of you who may not be familiar with the You Matter campaign, the movement, it's basically saying everybody matters and everybody is important and has a voice. And we're sharing You Matter. And so just why don't you give me your impression on these two ideas that are kind of organic. They're not educational technology related, but they're two big ideas and the impact that you've seen from them. We talked about the 20 time, but just touch on that.
I think it's funny because when I started this, I wasn't thinking in that frame of mind. Like, I'm going to do something that's going to really change the way that my students think about learning, or that I'm going to, you know, it just wasn't my idea. My thought was, hey, I'm just going to do something where I'm going to get my kids a chance to explore something they're interested in. Like, that'll be, like, a really cool way to work on reading and writing skills and research skills. Like, you know, I really approach it from an English teacher's point of view. Like, hey, there's reading, there's writing, there's research, you know, and it's okay that it's not, you know, my curriculum. It is in the sense that reading, writing, research, speaking, elements are there. Mm-hmm. But I'll let them choose. Like, that was, like, my rationale. Like, that was it. And it wasn't until I got closer to the end when I started to read the blog posts more, you know, as they came about what they were learning and about what they were taking away from it, that I had realized that this was a much bigger thing than I had intended. And that's really what hit me was, wow, I am teaching about 100 million more things than reading, writing, mm-hmm. speaking, like research. Like that, those are just extra bonuses. Like I thought the other stuff were the bonuses, you know, like, oh, cool, you're going to learn about time management. You're gonna, no, like the reading and writing and the speaking element, those are the bonuses. Like, yeah. Oh, those are the throw-ins. Like as an English teacher, those are great, obviously important skills, but these bigger parts of it, that's what the kids took away more than anything else. That freedom to fail, that idea that fear is okay and that it should drive you to do great things. My one student, she wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro for her project. So, mountain in Africa. I was like, yeah, good luck with that. Like, you know, that's, no problem. Like,
that's quite a bus ride.
It is. And yeah. So I said, good luck. I don't know what else to tell you. I can't help you with this, but good luck. She spent the full year doing research, finding a charitable organization that does work, on the mountain, at the mountain, raised all the money herself, and she gave the first talk at the TEDx event because she had to leave to get on a plane to Florida to join up with the group to fly to Africa to climb Mount Kilimanjaro and do her charity work.
Wow.
That's what she
How
did.
About that, guys? Let's give a round of applause for that. That is pretty amazing.
I was admittedly skeptical when she said that's what she wanted to do.
Yeah, of course. We're talking about a mountain in Africa, thousands of miles away.
I said, but good luck. You know, let me know what I can do. And she turned her whole talk into you have to find your mountain and climb it. Like, everyone has something that they want to do or something to challenge. And you have to go out and find it and climb it. And she created a whole shirt. She designed a shirt, and she created National Climb Your Mountain Day at our school.
I love it.
She sold the shirts, and then everyone wore the shirt. Like, almost the entire sophomore class wore this shirt that said, you know, find your mountain and climb it. And she designed it, and she sold these shirts for as a fundraiser. And everyone wore it on that day, and she talked about it.
That's awesome.
It was so awesome to see everyone on board with this and supporting one another. And this is a 15-year-old student
Absolutely.
Who decided, I'm doing this. And at any point, anyone could have gone up to her. A teacher could have said, oh, really, shouldn't you like,
parents or anybody.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, Michigan's got some mountains or something. Like, why don't you climb that?
Look at the Porcupine Mountains.
Yeah,
they're up in the UP,
yeah,
maybe.
Let's start with that. And then maybe we'll go somewhere else. And, you know, no. She's like, this is what I'm doing. And she raised the money, and the family was super supportive. And she did it. She's like, right now, she's in Africa, like at Mount Kilimanjaro.
Amazing.
And, you know,
amazing, as we speak.
Yeah, like it blows your mind. You know, so whenever you think of a student and your initial thought is, well, they can't, it's like, stop it. Like,
well, see, so good for you for just, see, like that would have been, I mean, it could have been very easy if you say, honey, you can't do that.
Yeah,
it's in Africa.
Yeah, why don't you find something else?
You know, let's do it. How many, I mean, you know what? And it's interesting because, like, you know, Drew's heard this story before, you know, like, hey, when I was in high school, I wasn't very engaged with teachers. I would have loved to have a teacher like you. And I think a lot of educators remember when we were students and we're thinking about when we were in school. And I've told Drew this. I mean, I had a teacher in college that finally, I mean, hey, I loved high school. It was great. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I mean, it made me who I am today. So I love that. I wouldn't change it. Now, the thing is I remember a few teachers throughout my career, and they were teachers that did things like what you said. Is, you know what? I think it's, I'm better in person than I'm on paper. I'm fine on paper, but you know, if you give me 5 minutes, I think I like my chances better. I like to talk. I like to share. I like
to
read.
Like to talk.
I do like to talk. I don't know if that's, you know, is that, you guys get that? Is that all right? All right. So
we're teachers. We all do.
Exactly. So you know, so the thing is like, you know, we have a room full of educators here, and you know, what would be some advice you would give out to educators if they want to try like 20 time or something? What would be like just a small piece of advice if they wanted to get started? What would you say?
The best advice I can give any educator for any lesson, anything that you want to do, is to be yourself. Be true to who you are as a teacher. If you are the goofy, funny teacher, be the goofy, funny teacher. Who cares what the other teachers say? Like, you know, I remember some of the worst advice I got starting teaching was, you know, don't smile for the first month.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Right? We've heard those, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't smile for the first month, and then you can ease off, because it's easier to ease back than it is to be fun and happy and friendly and then have to be tough. Right. You know, I looked at that and I thought, okay, yeah, I guess sort of makes sense. Like, I didn't know your new teacher, like, I don't want to get fired. And how terrible that is. Like, you know, this when I finally embraced my happy-go-lucky, you know, just kind of casual mindset when it comes to the classroom, you know, my classroom management went up. Like, my problems went down because I was being me, and the kids can read us at the high school level. I don't know who we're trying to kid. The kids know whether or not you're full of crap or not.
Yeah.
The kids know.
My fourth graders know.
Yeah, right? The kids know if you're prepared or not. They know 2 minutes in. They look at you and go, oh, he's not prepared. Sweet. Day off, everyone. They know.
Love it.
They know.
Love it.
And so being true to who you are, the kids respect that. And when I ask kids, I'm like, you know, what makes kids were you there for the student panel at Ed Camp?
I don't know. If yes, I was not at that.
You had your other session? Yep. I do a student panel at Ed Camp where it's an opportunity for everyone to ask high school kids what you've always wanted to know. Like, here's your chance. I don't let anyone from my district in the session so that the kids can feel free to say whatever it is that they want without any type of repressions. And one of the things that they say time and time again, I've done this panel for 3 years, 4 years now, different kids, is that the teachers they love most are the ones that are passionate about their subject and are who they are, whether they're in the classroom, in the hallway, or, you know, at the grocery store, if you should see them. Like, those are the teachers they respect. Those are the teachers they love. And I think if you bring that to whatever it is that you're doing, they will buy into it because you buy into it. It's when you have to do that lesson that you don't like, that you have to do, it's all over your face.
They can read it.
They totally know it.
They're like, oh, you don't like this one? I'm like, no.
And so I've gone to being honest. I'm like, listen, we've got to cover this. I'm not a super fan of this writer. I'll tell them why. Say, I don't like this person for these reasons. You might like them for these reasons, but let's talk about why we don't like them. Because trying to hide it is awful because they know that it's disingenuous. So they're like, he doesn't buy it.
Right there.
I'm not buying it. Let's move on to the next thing. So at least that honesty gets them to buy it and go, wait, did my teacher just say he doesn't like something he wants us to – cool. Okay, why? So, like, that starts that conversation. But that being honest is the best advice I can give to any teacher, new, older, veteran, whatever. You will see way more success in your classroom the more honest and truthful you are to yourself and to the kids.
Absolutely. Awesome. For those of you joining us, we are with Nick Provenzano on the Two Guys Show, broadcasting from the Regional Lafayette Regional E-Learning Conference here in Lafayette, Indiana. For some reason, the live Twitter feed went down, so If you broke Twitter, we were trending so bad that it broke. If anybody in the audience, we're going to move on to him. But if anybody has a question, you just raise your hand. Anybody got a question for Nick on anything he's working on, or a question for us?
She does. I can tell. There's like 50 people in orange.
She's been taking notes. Like, all right.
She's back there going, I'm still stuck. They can't open the door. She goes up right there. If we could turn the camera on, she's tweeting right now. She's like, I can't open the door. I tried. Did you hear that noise? It was me shaking the door in the back.
She tried to get out.
We could turn the camera on. That'd be great. But
so what do you want to know about education?
Yeah, right. All right. So, well, you know what? We could go on and have this conversation a long time.
Well, let's talk about upcoming events.
Yeah,
so
I was about to do that. You know, what do you have on your agenda for the next 6 months or so?
Too much? Is that an answer?
Too much, I'll give you the details on mine. I'll tell you.
I'm doing an Ignite talk there.
Ignite session.
It's 5 minutes, right?
Yep. Yeah, five minutes, man.
20 slides.
And remember, Nick, even if they tell you you're going first, third, eighth, you have no idea that you're there. They kept telling Todd he was going like third. We're all sitting there. Next thing he was like, he's like ninth or 15th or something. So.
Yeah, my Ignite session is all about, it's like 20 time a little bit, but it's about student voice. And so for those of you that it'll be recorded, you can watch it. I'll throw this out. Here's a little tidbit of what I'm doing. I'm singing the introduction theme song to Phineas and Ferb to kick off my Ignite session. So for those of you, how many here are familiar with Phineas and Ferb? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, quite a few. Nice. Wow. Right.
Wow. Parents, so you know that there's 104 days of summer vacation.
That's right.
And exactly. School comes along just to end them.
That's
so
right.
The annual problem of our generation is finding a good way to spend them.
Preview.
Well, if you listen to that whole song is why you need 20 time in an essence.
Perfect.
It's about two kids who feel that school kills their creativity, and so they need to get every ounce of summer that they can to do the fun things that they want to do. And so my whole talk will focus on that. And since you're not allowed to have video, you're not allowed to have audio for an Ignite session, so I will have to sing a cappella that song. So I memorized it. I have been. I'm tossed between doing a spoken. Yes. My son loves it because he's a huge fan. So he loves once I start singing, he's like, yeah! So I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do like a cool, like, Shatner spoken word version.
Oh, nice. Rendition.
Yeah, right.
Or
if I'm really going to attempt to sing it. So
Shatner, he used to be on Star Trek. Yes. Just, you know, Drew may not know. He's like, is that the Priceline guy? Yeah, that's him.
He's the Priceline guy.
Yeah, that's how he knows him. He had to go on YouTube. What's his
James Tiberius Kirk, absolutely. Nerd cred there, I know his middle name. So,
right on, Tiberius.
So ISTE, I've got ISTE, I've got the Google Teacher Academy, I got accepted into that.
Woo! Congratulations for that, nice job.
In Mountain View, so I'm going to the mothership, like I'm going to Google.
The headquarters,
so,
right.
That'll be exciting, like that's crazy.
Is that October?
That's, it's end of July.
End of July.
End of July. And I'm doing a thing in Vegas for Blackboard with Tim Gwynn. My buddy Tim and I are going to do a whole big thing for Blackboard.
Awesome.
I got some local stuff in Michigan, some stuff for McCall, Open University, and things like that. So too much, but I'm happy
to do it. But it's good stuff. Everything that you're doing is good stuff. Yeah, you do it because you're passionate.
Oh, I do. I love it, the opportunity to meet new people. Like I said, I love that I got invited to come back to Lafayette because I love the community. I love the town. Just great people, good places to go. So I love to travel. I love to eat. I like
it. It is good. I eat every day.
I like to go to places and try new things. Like
Drew. Drew's a plain cheeseburger. We travel all the time and I have to order for him. I cannot believe it. What does he want? Oh, he wants a plain cheeseburger. Nothing pizza. On. Just give him the kids' meal. Just give him the kids' meal. Does he want a toy? Yes. And can you bring extra crayons, please?
I like to go.
Local drink specialties. I love to.
Those are good, too.
Local breweries and things like that. Lafayette Brewing Company. Very good.
There we go. We got some fans right here.
Some nodding and
agreement. I saw some people there last night.
Yes, very, very good. Like, I'm a big fan of that. So I like to. Since I'm traveling, I might as well, immerse myself in the culture of wherever it is that I'm going.
I'm learning the language in Lafayette. I've immersed myself. I'm getting pretty fluent.
Boilermakers, yay, go Purdue, right?
That's right, woo! We got some fist pumps, there we go.
See, she is listening.
And the
FFA. She is paying attention, well done.
The FFA is going on right now, too, you know, big thing here right now.
She is. So, that's my busy summer, and also hanging out with my beautiful wife, who supports me in these crazy endeavors. I wouldn't be able to do it except for the singing.
That's okay.
I wouldn't be able to do these things without her support, obviously, and my three-year-old son, oh my God, he's three. He's goofing
adorable.
Around with him. He is adorable, right?
Oh,
he is adorable. There's just no getting around that. He's going to be troubled, though. He's too smart. he's too smart for his own good. So that's my summer in a nutshell. I'm excited. I try not to think about September yet already.
No.
We just got out of school on Friday. It was our last day. We came right from school to here.
Yeah,
this is, we got here Monday. Did you get here Monday?
I got here Monday, yes.
Yeah, we got here Monday. So, my room's not officially been closed up yet right now. So
my summer vacation started with a 5-hour drive to Lafayette. So my summer off, right, teacher?
Right, exactly.
Oh, summer off
time.
Is nothing but fresh development across all summer.
All summer, absolutely.
I couldn't be happier to be meeting awesome people like this.
Well, I hope you get highly effective for your professional development.
Yeah, right.
That's another story for another time.
Well, we will see you in ISTE. We're going to move on to our next segment in just a minute, but we'll see you at ISTE. We're doing a panel discussion with Angela, Todd, and Steve Messler.
Nice.
We'll be doing On You Matter Sunday morning, so we'll see you there. All right, well, you know what? We need to move on to our shout-outs, and then the best part of the show. What is the best part of the show, Drew?
What's on your playlist?
What's on your playlist, everybody? Let's give it up. Woo! All right. That is the best. So we're going to move on here from Lafayette, Indiana, from the Regional Lafayette e-learning conference. So now this is a time in our show where we give shout-outs to people on Twitter, social media, that we've been chatting with, who are doing some cool things, and then we'll get on to our playlist. So it might be somebody that we've chatted with, someone we've seen them doing cool stuff, might be people we've chatted with for a long time. So Nick, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right.
So I've got my three, and especially there were a whole lot of people in the Twitter 101 session.
Oh, right.
I noticed today, like, the room was filled. Like, your session was packed.
Yeah.
Packed. So, woohoo! I've got some people that are starting out on Twitter that should absolutely follow. So these are people that I feel that you would be completely lost if you didn't, because these were basically the first people that I followed. And so these are the people that helped guide me in my blogging and my Twitter world. So the first two I call my blogging godmothers. They hate that so much. They call them, like, it makes it sound so old. It's Kelly Tinkley and Shelly Terrell. So Kelly Tinkley is at KTENKELY. She's the first person who ever left a comment on my blog.
Just was, like George's thing, that one kid that got the one like. There
was,
you go. You remember who it was.
She was the first person I engaged on Twitter. She was doing EdChat. I had no idea what EdChat was. I'm like, what's this hashtag that I didn't understand? And she was like, hey, it's this. And she, her and I have become like really close friends. We've done projects together. You know, I credit her completely with making me not feel alone in the Twitter void and keep going. So Kelly has always been an amazing person. And the other person next to her, the other godmother, Shelly Terrell, at Shell Terrell, S-H-E-L-L, T-E-R-R-E-L-L.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. She's one of the founders of EdChat. Again, someone that embraced me as a newbie and said, hey, this is what you do, or this is what you could do. And we, you know, became fast friends. And again, one of those people that helped me get over that hump of, do I keep doing this or do I stop? Do I keep blogging? Do I keep tweeting or do I stop? She engaged me. She retweeted stuff. I said people were actually reading it. And, you know, both of them had all these huge followings. And so with their simple retweets, all of a sudden the entire world of education saw my blog, saw my Twitter account. And so I have so much to thank them for, because if they hadn't taken a chance of a little guy like me, I never would have gotten where I was. And my last one has to be to my edgebro, Tim Gwynn, at T-G-W-Y-N-N. He is, as we like to say, my brother from another mother. We met each other through Twitter. We see each other once, maybe twice a year. We are best buds until the end of time. We are goofy. We are silly. And people usually have to roll their eyes once or twice in our presence.
Oh, God.
No. Right? No, really.
No, no, no. No, I was rolling my eyes.
No, it's really, no, really, it's, you need to, because we are just goofy and silly. And we
but
act
that's
like
awesome.
Two people. I
that's,
know it is. That,
no, it's
we
great.
We act like two
it's
people
great.
That spend every single day with each other and we've known each other for 20 years. But we have probably spent less than a total, I don't know, 2 weeks together, like time if you had to add up all the hours. Like, that's insane to think about, that we have such a close bond, and social media was the reason that we got that bond. So those are my three, for sure, absolute people to get tons of great information to connect with. And Tim will just make you laugh. He won't share anything remotely important. But,
but you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy
you'll
it.
Find him really funny. And that's what Tim brings to the table. This is witty, sensey humor. So those
awesome.
Are my three.
Awesome. Great shout-outs. All right, Drew, you want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go with two from our conference here. One is at Library Fanatic.
Is she
which
here?
Is Sherry.
No, she had a board meeting.
That's right. That's right. She said she wanted to stay for the show, and she tweeted and said, duty calls, I got a board meeting.
Yes.
Yep, I saw that.
Right.
Yep.
So that's Sherry Gick. We got to meet her this morning and get a picture, a selfie with her, the three of us.
Yes, we did.
Was very cool. So definitely give her a follow. The next one is the person, the reason that we are even here.
Yeah, I had him too.
And that's why I go first, is Matt. So thank
Let's
you,
give
Matt.
It up to Matt, everybody.
Yay!
He's right here in the front.
Yay!
Yeah, well done.
At Bronco_AP is his Twitter handle, so definitely give him a follow.
Great guy.
And then the last one is a guy who I had the privilege of doing a Google Hangout with Saturday morning, or just kidding, yesterday morning.
He can't. He's...
I can't. I'm losing it. So he's using different Daiquiri applications, and so I kind of gave him a rundown on Daiquiri Studio, and he created his first 40 experience yesterday.
Nice.
And tweeted out and stuff like that.
Very
and,
good.
He's really pumped about it. He's sharing things, presenting around his local area, and he's presenting, you know, to the rest of his district and wants to share all this stuff. So it was real cool to chat with him for a little bit. His name is Paul Schlangen, and it is at Mr. Schlangen.
All right, well, I've modified mine a little bit just to kind of go on what these guys are saying. I also had Matt as well as one of mine. But it's funny because Nick talked about one of the first people that talked to him on Twitter. And when that happens to me, I always think of Kevin Honeycutt. you know, people who follow our story and our blog and our show have heard some of the stories before. But Kevin was, we met Kevin very early on. I think I just created Twitter on a Thursday, and we met Kevin on a Monday. He happened to be in Michigan, and he started following us over the weekend. Drew saw his on his itinerary. He was in Michigan. Drew reached out to him and said, hey, you know, we've got like 9 people between us, you know, on Twitter that we follow. We follow.
I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't. But anyways, so like said, hey, we'd like to maybe come down and see what we're doing at school. He goes, well, why don't you guys come up for dinner? And so he was
5 hours later.
Yeah. So next thing you know, we went up, had dinner with him, and then he invited us back to the hotel. And you know, if anybody's seen Kevin's his keynotes, he's got guitars and amplifiers, everything. Next thing I know, here's Drew and I up in the hotel room. He's got us on so many iPad instruments, and he's kind of just
playing
saying
music, and I bet the neighbors hated
it. Oh my gosh. I mean, because like, so Kevin's like, I've got it down to a science. Every suitcase is like 49 and a half pounds. And he has double and triple of everything. He's like, you know how many microphones I have? I'm like, how many? He goes, I got 3. I said, why? He goes, because they break one at the airport every time, and I still have 2. I only need 1, but I still got an extra one.
Then
like,
if I lose a suitcase,
yeah.
Then I've got 1.
And he puts them in a different suitcase. So anyways, huge shout out to Kevin Honeycutt, because honestly, over the last year or so, he's truly taken us in. We've become very good friends, and you know, like Nick said, you know, he embraced us, you know, and kind of, you know, helped us realize that social media is a place you can truly connect with people. And you know, we've connected with a lot of other people, like Todd Nesloni, Tech Ninja Todd in Texas, Evan Scher, who is Evan Scher on Twitter, but he used to be in Japan. Now he's in Germany. He's assistant director of technology in Germany at the Frankfurt International School.
Yep.
And so it's interesting because I was thinking about this, you know, with the connection to social media, we're actually gaining even more friendships and connections. And some people I still haven't even met in person, but you know, we've had Google Hangouts. You feel like you really know them. So. Those are going to be some of my shout-outs for tonight. We'll just keep it simple with them. And shout-outs to you. Well, I have a whole list of more that I'm not going to. I'm not going to mention, you know, Marty Katz, you know, Marty Snowball, you know, or Jenna Ball, you know, yeah. Who does the Critterkin, you know, the great whole series like that. I won't mention them or Aaron Klein or anything like that. I'll keep it just to 3 and won't mention those other people. So that way I want to stay on, you know, on task and keep it short this week. All right. Okay. So those are my 3. So
now we're gonna move on to Brad's favorite part of the show, which is what's on your playlist.
What's on your playlist? I wish we had like music right now. You know, can we just get a round of applause then for what's on your playlist? Yeah. Right.
What's on your playlist?
You know what? Yeah. He wants to. Right. Yeah. You. What's on? No. Don't turn around. He's talking about you.
What's on your playlist?
What'd you listen to today?
Give us a song.
Okay. What? That was great. Oh, I love it. Thank you.
No, but really.
What was the last song you listened to? Or you heard on the radio? There you go.
All right.
She's got good taste in music.
That's good. And she's like, not just, oh, hey, I know the other songs too, right?
Right. I know
them all. See, there you go. We had somebody shouting out the Lumineers on the show recently. From Remind 101, I think it was. So, all right, well, cool. All right, who's going first? I only have
a little help with yours.
I did.
Which apparently.
This is great. There's some
genius.
So my wife will readily admit I stopped listening to music right around 1999 because that's when music stopped being good.
Sometimes I disagree.
I know, but there's some good stuff that comes around. But really, my wheelhouse of music was the 90s.
That's cool.
The end of the 90s is what I like. So whenever it comes to current music, I just know unless I can really.
Hey,
like
we'll take
it.
Throwbacks from the 90s.
So I asked my
Drew was like 4.
I asked my friend Tim Nguyen. I said I need songs that make me sound cool, like I know what's really going on.
So awesome.
Text me, you know, what he wants. And so he said, I need to say that it's what's on my playlist is Turn Down for What.
Turn Down for What. That's good.
You kids know that one?
Yeah, you guys know that one, right? Kids are in the audience today. They're confirming that.
Dance Apocalyptic by Janelle Monáe.
Yep.
Am I saying that right? Monáe?
Yeah, the 18-year-old's nodding. Yeah.
Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Great song.
That's an older one.
They don't know that.
That
Drew's got that one.
This one I really do like, and I can say that I'm hip. Because I know this one.
Oh, this one, I know what it is.
Iggy Azalea's Fancy.
Brenna, right?
If you've seen the music video, it's Clueless.
He's not saying it's dumb they don't get it.
Yeah, it's the movie.
He's saying the movie. Okay, yeah.
My mom's calling me.
Oh, you know what? That's just it. You got to answer.
No.
Oh, that'd be the second time. We had Walter. We had Walter Duncan.
His mom called. He's like,
his,
Mom,
his mom called while he was on the show. It was the cutest thing. Hey, Mom, I'm on the show. Can I call you back? Oh, honey, I didn't know. I'll call you back later. So it's on YouTube. Like, it's great. It was great.
Skilo, I wish. If you remember the song with Skilo, I wish. I wish it was a little bit taller.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that song? Yeah.
A little bit what?
I sing it to myself every day.
Yeah, well, taller? That's what I thought. Okay, there we go. All right.
This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan.
Oh, I was going to use that one.
You know, we're sticking to three. Go ahead.
Beyonce Countdown because Beyonce.
I'm just going to do the serious hits
and
one.
Sam Smith, La La La. I've never even
La
heard
La
of that
La
one.
It's actually a good one. That's one. A very good one.
Tim could have made that one up and said it. No, I wouldn't know the difference.
That's a real song. La La La. It's actually, that's a
I
good one.
I got to find a new song now.
Yep, that's real good.
You go next.
Oh, no. What? I got to find a new song.
I took his because I forgot I gave it to him.
Which gave me Montel Jordan.
Oh, okay.
That's How We Do It.
Okay.
And just took it away.
Well, I had Fancy. I mean, that was going to be one. Still, you know, it's like I try not to do repeaters, but truly, if this is still what's on your playlist, it's, you know, you got to go with what you're still listening to. So the Congos, Come With Me Now. Has anybody heard that song, Come With Me Now by the Congos? Oh, look.
There's three kids.
My three kids raised their hand. Matt, another one in the back. Congos, Come With Me Now. You got to check it out. Okay. One thing I like to do is I like good music, and I like to enjoy it.
And
I like to
sing. Dance in the car.
I like to dance in the car. I try not to dance in the car with my kids anymore, but, like, if I'm by myself or if, like,
with
Drew
me.
Okay, so I know Drew's been – really? Aaron and Todd are boxing. Not right now, guys. Seriously, we're live, okay? I'm sure that's why they're doing it. I do like to enjoy it. So you know, so the Congos, Come With Me Now, it's got to be one of the most explosive, fun songs to listen to and sing in the car. And then another one, I said this, we had them on the show, Project Dirty, Skywalker. Has anybody heard that song, Skywalker? Okay, I got three more again. Okay. I recommend that one. It's another great, it's a great song. They're a band out of L.A. And they just got a deal in Europe. They're independent, okay, and that's really cool. They're independent. They got a break on satellite on Sirius Hits 1 or 3, 20 on 20, on which is channel 3.
XM3.
They got a break, and they got this song called Skywalker on. We heard it. We loved it. We started talking about it on the show. We started tweeting. Next thing you know, the Twitter feed's blowing up. They end up coming on the show on my birthday, which was fantastic. Which I know, right? They did an acoustic song on there. And so now the thing is, so we just want to give them shout-outs. They're up for an award at the LA Music Awards tomorrow night.
Cool.
And they've got a deal in Europe and Russia right now. And so based on the hits on their YouTube and stuff, it's going real well. So big shout-out to them. Good. Skywalker is the name of that song. It's
and
a
they
great,
have one on 20 on 20 right now called Raise the Bar.
Called Raise the Bar. So those some. So if you like Fancy by Iggy Azalea, check out Skywalker. Check out Congos.
That's your song.
You know.
Is that really your playlist?
Classic by Phil MKTO.
Collins. Yes, I have a Phil Collins playlist. What's wrong with having a Phil Collins playlist?
You know what? It's against all odds. You know, he gets a box of Kleenex and tears up, you know, honestly, puts the lights down.
Listen, when I have to do a lot of work around my house and I need an 80s Phil montage, the studio is going to be playing. So
studio.
I can get through the work.
Nice.
People know.
Oh, yeah. I know. We got a lot of nods in the audience. We got a lot. So,
or don't lose my number. That song's
I want to do one more.
Okay, do one more. Let me see your playlist.
Many ways. I said this last time. Okay, and I'm bringing this up because I said I was going to do some research last week. I brought up Many Ways is the name of the song. It's by Ferry Corsten and Jenny Wahlstrom. And I said I want to know which one's which because the girl's voice to me is it's amazing. It reminds me of the Cranberries from the 90s. Anybody remembers the Cranberries?
Yeah.
You know, she had it. Yeah, right? Okay, the 90s.
Dolores O'Riordan. Thank you very
great
much.
Great voice, right? Yes. Okay, so check out Many Ways by Ferry Corsten and Jenny Wahlstrom. So I did some research, guys. Ferry Corsten is a DJ in the Netherlands, okay? And Jenny Wahlstrom is the one who did the vocals, okay? So Many Ways is a really cool song. If you like the Cranberries, you liked her voice, check out Many Ways by Ferry Corsten and Jenny Wahlstrom. Just want to say that. Good music. A lot of this is on satellite right now, and I like to hear this stuff nice and early. So those are my recommendations. All right, Drew's still
I'm
trying
go
to get
throwbacks here.
All right.
I'm going to go with Billy Joel. We Didn't Start the Fire. Great song.
Love that.
That is a good song. Good song.
Another one right here, which is another great song.
Whose phone is that?
Whose phone is that?
Mine.
Oh, I'm so glad you're doing a playlist off his phone.
Well, that's great. He's like, do I recognize? He's like, I wasn't born yet, but I'll do Billy Joel.
I like him. So I'll go with those two. No, I've got
You got more?
Okay.
Thank goodness.
I went with another oldie. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Journey's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Journey.
I actually do have their album.
Wow.
Great hits.
Actual album or
yeah, I was about to say, you know, he said album. Does he mean CD? Really?
LP? Like an LP.
Oh, yeah, see? He didn't even get the joke. He didn't even get the joke. He's like, yeah, I have an album. It's this big. It's a CD, right? He didn't even get the joke.
I know.
That's great.
It was a stupid joke.
No, it was funny. It was funny. It was
joke.
No, it was really, really funny,
you
actually.
You made the same joke. I own LPs. I actually have a
record player. I do, too. I have a record player. And
see
I have
what
some...
I do? This is impossible.
No, it's you impossible. Know, I just, like, sometimes you just can't help it. You're still learning. It's okay. We'll bring you along. Go ahead.
We haven't all been here since the Stone Age. Okay, so let's start wrapping things up.
Okay, so those are – all right. So so why don't you go ahead – well, let's –
thank you,
Nick.
Everybody, yeah. For joining us online and here in the crowd. Let me get a round of
applause. Actually, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
You and you.
She stayed.
She did leave.
She stayed.
Yeah,
her friends.
Yeah.
Do you realize that? Everybody next to her left.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what, I tried to get out early, and I saw the emergency exit. I thought it was going to go off, so I had to stay.
It's amazing.
Good for you.
Good for you. So
we got to give her a gift.
So thank you to everybody. Thank you to Matt and Rita and everybody for hosting the conference. Thank you for everybody coming in. Nick, can you give your contacts to everybody so people who are listening on iTunes or watching later on YouTube can – how would they contact you?
At the Nerdy Teacher would probably be the best way to get a hold of me. You can go to thenerdyteacher.com and – shoot me an email through that site. Probably the two fastest way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. All right, Drew, why don't you wrap up, give everybody your contact information, and we'll start wrapping things up.
You can find me, as always, on Twitter, at TechMinoc, or you can find us on our blog at twoguysatsomeipads.com. You can find us on Facebook and go like our Two Guys at Some iPads page there.
Like it.
Definitely head on over and do that. Pinterest, any of those, we have them. And then head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast.
Absolutely. I am Brad Wade. You can find me on Twitter at TechBradWade. You can also find me. I manage the Instagram account. I posted something very interesting today, and I'll just give you a short story. Yeah, we were taking a swim today at the hotel and got out to use the sauna. Makes sense, right? They've got a sauna. Like, we have a sauna here. And
it looks scary.
It's an electric sauna that you cannot use when you're wet, and it's on the deck of the pool. It says you will be electrocuted, only to be used with dry clothes. So I don't get it. So I actually put it on Instagram, and I shared the video. So if you want to see that, go to Two Guys and Some iPads.
I saw that. It was frightening.
Did you see? It
I
was.
Did. It was frightening.
It was so weird. I'm like, we're excited. Like, oh, because the pool. They said it's heated when we got in. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, a seven-year-old thinks it's heated. It was heated, right, Brano? It was not as heated as I would like. So I figured the sauna would be a great way to work on that. So you can check that out on Instagram. We'd like to thank the EdReach Network for giving us this voice, giving educators a voice. We appreciate that. Thank you, all of you, for joining us on the Two Guys Show. Thank you to Lafayette, Indiana, and the conference, everybody. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. Stay tuned. Join us in a little over a week. We'll do one quick broadcast before we go to ISTE.
Yep.
And then we will be updating everybody from ISTE. So thank you, everybody. Stay connected.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Skywalker walking on the air tonight.